Been looking forward to this, a little something different. We know how much dough big-time athletes make. Many are investors. What do they invest in? How cool would it be if young people looking up to them not only emulated their dunking style, but maybe wise financial moves? Our guest has written a book, Teaching Kids to Buy Stocks, Stories and Lessons for Grown-Ups. J.J. Wenrich joins us. J.J., congrats on the books. Appreciate you taking some time. How's life treating you and yours these days?
Hey, thanks, Steve, for having me. I appreciate it. You know, life's pretty good right now, just getting ready for March Madness.
You know, as a first-time guest, always fun to learn a little bit about you. So, you know, the basics, like where do you hail from, where did you do your undergrad work, and, you know, maybe some sports loyalties, a little way to get to know JJ.
Yeah, I love it. So I'm originally from the great state of Kansas. I live in Southern California now, but grew up in Kansas, lived there until I was in my 30s and went to the University of Kansas. Grew up as a Jayhawk fan, a Royals fan, and a Chiefs fan, and then also a Wichita State fan as well. My mom will always remind me that the Shockers are the best basketball team in Kansas, and so that's a little bit of a up for debate at times, but they usually have a pretty good team.
Along those Rock Chalk Jayhawk lines, and by the way, you can follow JJ on Twitter. The handle is at JJ Wenrich 2. The book is at Teach Kids Stocks, spell stocks, STOX. So you were at Kansas during the Roy Williams era, obviously a legendary venue in Fog Allen Fieldhouse. So, you know, what sticks out from your time there about, you know, following a blue blood program up close and personal?
You know, what stands out is just how intense the fans are. And I'm sure it's the same thing in Eugene with the Ducks. And I know it is because my cousin's kid, he's a Ducks fan, and he's grown up and lived his whole life in Kansas. So I understand how that passion transfers. But I'd say what really stood out to me, especially at Allen Fieldhouse, is how they could be playing Sisters of the Blind in a pregame, and there'll be people waiting to get in hours before, and the place will be packed, and it'll be loud, and just that kind of intense loyalty. It's a lot of fun to be around that. And when I was there, yeah, it was the Roy Williams era, the Paul Pierce years, Ralph LaFrance. We like to make the joke that Roy's the only person who could keep Paul under 20. He played a little bit of a different style back then than he did when they moved on to North Carolina. But, yeah, some great teams there. I grew up as a kid a Danny Manning fan, if you want to go back a little bit further even.
Oh, the 88 championship team with Larry Brown. Hey, I was born in 1960. Yep. I can go as back as far as you want. So, JJ, I've been doing this for a while, and whenever I have an author as a guest, I ask the same question because it's quite an undertaking. So what was the inspiration for you to sit down and write this particular book about teaching kids to buy stocks?
Yeah, so the goal was to really make the markets simpler, make it easier for folks to understand, because finance folks, they really do speak in a bit of a code. And to relate it a little bit to sports, I saw a tweet recently from Baron Davis talking about just that the finance industry and people that deal with investing and money, a lot of them speak in a code. Sometimes they don't realize they're doing it, and sometimes they do. But to people that aren't used to that, then it can really throw you off, and it can make things seem a lot more complicated than they are. And so my goal was really to try to simplify that message so that investing doesn't feel like something that's unapproachable and that's easier for folks to consume. And so the goal of the book was for it to not read like a finance book. It was for it to read like, you know, maybe a mom book or a dad book, or just something you might read for fun, but also learn something as you go. But that tweet from Baron Davis really simplified it. He goes, it's like they're speaking in another language, like they're using code. And I just wanted to decode it for people, because when you get down to it, you're talking about businesses. You're really just talking about, you know, these are different businesses that you might be able to own when you're talking about the stock market. And so just want people to feel like it's an approachable subject, that you don't have to have a degree or in finance. You don't have to be some sort of expert to start to learn about it.
Talking with a financial advisor and author J.J. Wenrich. So when I first saw the book, I thought the timing is interesting, because I think there's been kind of a movement. Maybe it's been because so many parents are teaching their kids at home that a lot of people are now thinking, even educators, you know, maybe deviate from the traditional school path, teach young people real life skills, balancing a checkbook and what you wrote about. I mean, is there any logic there?
Oh, absolutely, and there needs to be this movement. I think I agree in what you're saying, is that there is some momentum behind it. I do think it's because people have been at home and seeing either their kids learn from home or teaching their kids at home, and just also with everything that's happened in the last 12 months, you know, you can see the importance of being prepared for emergencies and just the basics of personal finance. But maybe also because people are home, they happen to be looking at the stock market a little bit more than they had, or maybe for the first time. And so it has definitely, you've seen a renewed interest in just the market. Maybe it's a factor of it doing, you know, poorly and then really, really well, or just the fact that a lot of more people are at home and, you know, and maybe have their attention on it that they would have been out and about doing other things prior to COVID. And so I think it's a kind of a confluence of all those factors that made there be an interest level. But what I like to see is that there's also that push for teaching the basics and really teaching the blocking and tackling, the dribbling and passing of it, because the other side that I'm seeing is you also see a lot of people just trying to jump straight into, you know, being traders or you know, running before they walk, and I worry that folks maybe are skipping some steps, because you need to save up some savings account. You need to have a cash emergency fund before you start, you know, going into the markets. And you know, I always worry with folks, are we gambling or are we investing? And so that's part of the message I also want to try to get across to folks, is that there is a difference between investing and trading. And it's important that I think that we educate both kids and adults on those differences.
Yeah, you know, from the how-to point, I know this is something you've engaged in for a long time, so be it your own kids, pro athletes, or, you know, people who kind of see that green up arrow or red down arrow, be it the Dow, NASDAQ, S&P 500, and wonder what it's all about. I mean, how do you go about explaining, like, what a prospectus is, you know, some of the basics, dollar cost averaging? Because I'd assume you're mostly focused on practical advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to give practical advice. And so we get to those things. I say start by just actually talking to kids about money, and then about businesses. I mean, it doesn't even have to be businesses that are publicly traded. You know, talking about if you're going out to dinner or you're getting takeout, talk about those companies. If the kids are buying something, just talk about the businesses you interact with, and try to, you know, help them see things not just from the consumer point of view, but from the business owner point of view. And then you can bridge those conversations about business into conversations about stocks if they are publicly traded. But you want to try to keep it around things that they're interested in. For example, today Roblox went public. Now, you ask all the kids, every kid knows what Roblox is, but I asked you know, some folks that are older than me if they knew anything about the company, and they'd never heard of it. So you can really get into kids' heads better if you're talking about things that they know and are interested in. And then eventually, you know, as you have those conversations, they lead to the things like dollar cost averaging and compound interest and just those basic concepts. But what I've learned with kids and adults is you have to get their attention first, and then they might listen to you. And so I know with my kids, we started it with, you know, one, just talking about money and, you know, here's the basics of spending and that sort of thing, and eventually teaching them the basics of saving. But when it comes to the investment side, it started with talking about the companies that we were either visiting or shopping at, or that they had some level of interest in.
Yeah, I think for a lot of parents, a first step would be see mommy and daddy as educators about money, not ATMs. I mean, that might be a good first step. A couple final thoughts for J.J. Wenrich, author of the book Teaching Kids to Buy Stocks, Stories and Lessons for Grownups. So the next natural question is, you've obviously had parents who've read the book, tried to use it as a vehicle to teach their kids these lessons. So I'm curious as to the feedback, be it on social media or wherever. What's some of the positive feedback you've received?
Yeah, no, it's been really good. I've gotten feedback from parents that have just handed the book to their kids and they've read it and then they've taken an interest and started to invest their own. You know, some adults did the same thing where, you know, they didn't have kids and they just bought it to help themselves learn. And then even my dad, he says, wow, I learned a lot of things. And maybe the craziest is my father-in-law, who I think said maybe 100 words to me in the 20 years I've been married to his daughter. He took the book to his financial advisor and said, hey, you need to read this. This is really good. So if I can win my father-in-law over, then maybe I can win anyone over.
Yeah, it's tougher than making the final four. Lastly, right. what we call in radio a reset. So let's kind of do a little review. JJ, let the folks know what the book is, what it's about, where they can find it, and anything else you could think of that maybe I haven't asked you, but you think is important enough for folks to hear.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So again, the book is Teaching Kids to Buy Stocks, Stories and Lessons for Grownups. And really, it's a finance book for folks that don't want to read a finance book. I feel like they should learn something about the stock market, but don't want to have to read your typical finance book that's going to use a bunch of jargon. So it's going to be an easy read, something that you'll enjoy. But you'll feel like I'm literally just walking you through the basics of the stock market. And so the goal is just to keep it simple and make it fun. You can find the book anywhere that you buy books online, Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but you can also check out our website. We have a bunch of resources there. It's teachingkidstobuystocks.com.
Well, I tell you what, I looked forward to this, and I really enjoyed this conversation. Folks, he's J.J. Wenrich. Again, you heard the book, Teaching Kids to Buy Stocks. You can follow along on Twitter at J.J. Wenrich 2, and the book at Teach Kids Stocks, X-T-O-X is the proper way to spell it. JJ, great to get a chance to speak with you. Wishing you continued success on all of these endeavors. And thanks so much for finding some time to talk with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.